If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening we have the topic that I think we can all relate to, the search for more. So let's open with a meditation. Take a deep breath. And call yourself forward into the love, the light, the sound, the column and extension of eternity that constitutes your life stream. Observe that you have merely extended a ray of consciousness from the all that is, that plays about in the tapestry of time and space, being and becoming, dreaming and dreaming within myriads of dreams, in what is very much like that Disney exhibit called It's a Small World, where you see all of the different dioramas, the different wheels of experience, the different names and forms and manifestations that we have caressed with our beams of consciousness and temporarily appropriated as our sense of identity. But all the while, our eternal spirit, our monad, our I am that I am presence, has stayed within the inner realms, is present at this moment in Shambhala, in the seventh aspect of the self, is seated right now at the right hand of the Father, along with the Messiah, Christ Jesus, the anointed son for this dispensation of time. You sit at the banquet table of the beloved. The angels and the souls pass before you in review. And together with your elder brother, the Christ, you designate and determine the placement within the realms of light. Oh, yes, right now you're doing that. Because this little dancing doodad in time and space that assumes so much self-importance, your current embodiment, is like a little puppet in a play that your higher essence is working the strings so that it does just the strutting and the role play that's appropriate for its current cast. And casting, and its role and its dialogue within this great cosmic drama. Abstract your consciousness from identifying with your puppet and see yourself in your divine embodiment working those strings, causing the little puppet doll to dance and to become attached, and to become disappointed and detached, and reattached, disappointed and detached. And see the mad play of the monkey mind as it spins out more and more stratagems for engagement, and more monkey shines to be engaged in. Get a sense of the vastness of their many selves. You are working many puppets on many stages and many dimensions, many overlays of consciousness. see the whole panorama of the many, many plays within plays and dramas within dramas and dreams within dreams. Catch a sense of the wonder of it, the hilarity of it. What a grand comedy. A comedy of errors, signifying nothing. Shakespeare knew. Shakespeare was one of the travelers, did you know that? He was one that knew the self and used his dramatic arts to portray the tomfoolery of the self in its many assumed guises. Beloved, this is the time of the doffing of the hat, when you take that feathered cap and you bow deep and low before the audience, prepared to exit the theater, the comedy of errors for the last time. We will not pass this way again. The whole show is moving on to a different arena, a different stage, a different venue. Yes, beloved, you're going into the indescribable, uncharted realms, yet to be colored in, yet to be sung, yet to be penned, yet to be poetically expressed. With the playwright's tools of living light and living sound and living color and a living word, and the supreme artistry of the flaming heart. You are artists that write the flaming heart of your impassioned spirits. Oh, you thought you were the doodad down here. Well, I'm very happy to inform you that all the things you thought you did, you never did at all. You dreamed the whole thing. It's all been a grand play. And yet it has high purpose. For we have delighted in sporting in the not knowing of the self. We have delighted in pulling the veil of illusion over our own eyes and the eyes of our puppets, so to speak. So, let's have a hearty and merry laugh at the whole charade. Let's embrace up all the tomfoolery and all the comedies of errors, the slapstick, and the buffoonery of that little puppet self. Oh, how funny it is when you get high enough and you can look at the self from that impersonal vantage point that finds such humor in the whole thing. Oh, my heavens, how important we make of our struttings upon the stage of life. No wonder all enlightened masters laugh a lot. I've yet to meet one that didn't have the most outrageous sense of humor. So, beloved, stand in that vast, divine observer self, that I am that I am, as we again tonight take another mosey through the halls of consciousness, looking into the mirror of self, looking into the patternings that keep us defined and confined in conditioned expectations, wishes, wants, agendas, etc. And every time you let your holy eyes, through which the very light of heaven pours forth, in your gaze, when you allow that light of the inner self to fall upon that area of scrutiny, you move it from the realm of the unconscious into the realm of awareness. And that is the whole purpose behind inner contemplation. That state of inner composure whereby you sit in the inner self and allow the play of consciousness to pass before you, like so many clouds before the sun. In that state, beloved, you can see so clearly when you get high enough. And when you're in that innermost point of divine collectedness, let's say, where your whole focus is still like a laser, you will find that everything that you perceive through that divine drishti, that divine sight, is absolutely fine just as it is. Nothing really needs fixing. And it's only when you get down into the area of the personal, with all of its projections and unfulfilled yearnings and its ingrained tendencies, or samskaras as we call them, it's only when you get down into identifying with that personal level of limitation and circumscription, because we circumscribe our lives to certain dimensions of operation. Not like the divine self that is non-localized in its awareness. The personal self is very localized in its sense of beingness. Stop what you're doing for a moment and withdraw all of your pranas, all of your attention into that pool of awareness that is the energy of your innermost self. See if you can soften the sense of the boundaries of the body. And feel the coruscating energy of the pranic field of consciousness that is uniquely yours. Your own energy. Do you know that your energy has no confines? It's boundless. It's omnipresent. It's all-knowing. Yes, get a sense of that vastness. Swim in that sea of consciousness. And yet, beloved, that consciousness that is you is as unique as a snowflake. In your mind's eye, consider the vastness of the snows of, say, the Alps, or the Himalayas, or even Mount Shasta. Imagine how many snowflakes there are in those vast snow fields. Deep, deep, deep they are in many places. And be aware that every single snowflake is unique. Did you know that that is God's divine metaphor for each of the souls in existence? And did you know that the whole metaphor of water itself is an exemplar of the ascension process? How water can become snow, can become ice, can become water again, can become steam, can evaporate and move back into the sky? Do you know that 70 to 80% of your body is water, and your brain? You're a water being. Now, doesn't that give you a different sense of the metamorphosis that's taking place within you as your water becomes sacred, geometric, beautiful Metatron cubes of divine glory? Each of the cells of your body is becoming like a little miniature tree of life, a six-pointed star, with divine pyramids that form the sacred tetrahedral shapes of the star, tetrahedron of the Merkaba, crystalline, delicate, pure. That, my beloveds, is the result of your time and your aspirations into the knowing of self. All of that was taking place while you were fiddling with the strength of your puppet and getting confused in your identity. So hold that in your consciousness as a metaphor for your own unique divine imprint within this quantum universe of many snows and great depths. Own it all. Because not only are you the snowflake, you are the snow. You are, in fact, part and parcel of the all that is. And yet you remain a uniquely begotten son of God. Son in the sense that you are proactive light, living light, and the Word, the living Word of the living God. Take a deep breath. And allow that awareness to settle into your innermost being as a gracious mantle of expanded awareness, purpose, beauty, and wholeness. And so it is. So we are going to look at that which prevails in so many lives. Maybe it isn't applying to you right now. Maybe it's a state that you have hopefully gone beyond. But in case that's not your reality, let's stop for a moment and really consider this. Ask yourself, am I still searching for more? Or am I content? Am I established in the divine? Am I abiding in that divine state of Purnam Adam, that divine fullness? Am I abiding in living in the Lord, in the divine dimensions of awareness? Or am I still identified in living in the world of appearances? The world of appearances is the ego's world of seek and never find, hope for and never attain. Because that's how the ego keeps its separative picture of reality intact. The ego self, the ego mind, is the form of separation. And it is fostered by the fear that all separated ones experience. So it feeds and grows by your searching for more. It is fed by your discontent and your frustration. It's interesting that we come into this world with a deep-seated inner longing, which manifests in all the many pursuits and quests of our subsequent life as it unfolds. These are the unfinished longings that we've brought over from previous times that are again upon us, that we must somehow come to terms with and somehow dissolve within ourselves or put to rest in some manner, or they will follow us until we do, since we are their perpetrator, let's say. So we pursue name and fame, accomplishment, success, financial abundance, wealth, all the worldly accoutrements, material objects, many toys and technologies. Yet every single time, if you observe, when you attain these things, you come to realize that it's never enough. You want more, as we still have that relentless longing. You know, I've had such an interesting life. I've actually lived six complete lifetimes in this one life. And I've had, I've just now entered into my seventh incarnation in this body. And along with each of these episodic lifetimes, if you will, or dramas or dreams within a dream, I achieve name and fame and success and abundance and excitement and romance and everything that I ever longed for at some point came and was placed before me for me to partake of it. And every single time when I had it offered to me, my spirit realized that was not what I really wanted. And I would choose again. Now, this is the classic life of a mystic, one who is in the mythos of the uncovering of the self, which has never been veiled. It has never been lost. So the whole process is mythic in the sense that it's part of the dream drama of that which never happened, which is separation from the all that is. But, you know, the ego loves mythology. It has a mythology to explain everything. Did you ever notice? It's all about story. It's all about drama. It's all about keeping the never was going around and around and around. It's the grandmaster of disguise. High drama, melodrama, or not so melodrama, if you will. So many of you have had lives like that, too. I think the older souls do. I think we don't have boring lives because we've come to drink of the cup fully so that we can pass the cup of the world away and go for the chalice, the divine goblet, with the nectar of immortality, the amrita of the gods within it. That's what we're really after, is that divine amrita, which when we drink it, we will not hunger or thirst anymore. And that can only be gotten from the inner quest. So after the pursuit of name and fame and so forth and all of that, at some point many people numb out or try to numb out and quiet and dull and suppress that longing. Sometimes they do that through some chemical or other substance addiction. And yet at some point that too is going to bottom out and end and leave them still with a longing. So at that point, the longing begins to turn to the realms of the spiritual quest. And we travel and search for a teacher, a guru, a mentor. We read many books. We attend seminars and classes. And we may live in a monastery or commune or ashram. I've done all of the above. And yet still the longing is there. No matter how hard we attempt to adapt, twist, contort, to pretzel into fitting and belonging, we still experience that sense of being an outsider looking in, and yes, that longing is still there. So maybe in all of this, we may have even donned the outer garments of some order or accepted some holy vows or some doctrinal or other entrenched belief system that we, again, tried to squeeze our magnificence into. And we tried to live the little truth or the lesser for a time and a season. And yet, at some point, still that longing, that unanswered question remains. What must I do next? What is my next step? And the longing is still upon you. And you know there's more. There has to be more than all of this. There is more, isn't there? Oh, your heart says yes, there is more. You know, there's a saying in India that the musk deer is driven to mad frenzy in its search to find the source of this tantalizing musk scent. And yet the scent is emanating from its own body. What a perfect metaphor for the spiritual self. The divine lover, or the human lover, is driven to mad frenzy to possess and merge with the object of his or her affection. And the devotee will undergo all manner of austerity and self-chastisement to achieve enlightenment, to achieve divine revelation and mystic union. And yet, the longing and pursuit for more remains. Did you ever stop to realize, beloved, that all your yearning, your seeking, and your pursuing, in all of that, you are really energetically projecting the not having of whatever it is you seek? You're projecting the lack of having what you seek when you seek it. Go into this deeply. Look in the areas where you're still searching. Why do you search when you are the fullness of the all that is? That already has dreamt this long ago and awakened from it, and is now in divine creation in another state of consciousness entirely. Why has the pencil drawing drawn your attention when you're the master Rembrandt of the higher heavens, the Michelangelo, the cosmos, and you're tunneled in on the pencil drawing? Hello. Yes, in seeking and in the chase, in the pursuit, you're energetically pushing away and affirming that you do not have whatever it is you seek. I remember in the interviews we had with Sai Baba, where he would ask people, what do you want? And people would say, I want God. And Baba would say, I is ego, want is desire, remove ego, remove desire, God remains. So in the same manner, this is how we look at our life. Whenever you say, I want, I need, I wish, I hope, all of that is pushing the very thing that you would like to embrace up more fully and realize more fully. It's pushing it away from you. And that pusher away energy, that pushing away energy, is what we call the ego mind. That's how it projects separation. So did you ever stop to think that by the mad frenzy to have, to achieve, to own, to possess, to attain, even enlightenment, again, you are energetically pushing whatever it is that you desire, whatever state it is that you desire to move into, you're pushing it away from you. The Master Maitreya was quoted to have said that those who seek him will never find him. Because the very seeking itself assures that he cannot be found. For the same reason, you need to remember and to realize that the one that's doing the seeking outward is the same one that you are seeking to find inwardly. It's just a shifting of focus. When the gaze is outward, to the phenomenal world, it's called ego. When the gaze is centered within, it's called the divine self or the Atma, the impersonal self, the witness self. Sit quietly at some point, if you wish, if you choose. It's a free will universe. But if you really want to know the self, you will play in the consciousness fields and experience the self in different valences, in different contexts, that you may probe through the insightfulness, sword of truth within you. You may cleave that which is spirit and that which is the soulish levels of personal will, personal mind, and personal feeling, as apart from the I am that I am. You can divide the two and see where they lie within you, your various states of consciousness. You can lay it open to be clearly perceived and seen. When you use your time in meditation and contemplation, this is the correct way to approach the contemplation of the Word of God. Again, the Word of God is the living Word that spoke you into existence, that breathed life and light into you, and that indwells you as the Spirit of Truth, the whole Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So just as we have a Trinity expression of the one Godhead that expresses as Father, Mother, or God, and which is really non-gender defined, and then we have the Son aspect through Jesus, the Christ, and then we have the Holy Spirit aspect as the Spirit of Truth that indwells the individual. So also you are spirit. You have a soul, and you are functioning through a body. So that trinitized expression that is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is also you as Father Spirit, the Son, which is the Christ-conscious soul within you, and the manifestation of the divine creative spirit into the outer world, which is, again, the work of the Holy Spirit that does all things through you. So you're a mini Ophanim, a mini Trinity, a mini Elohim, a mini representation of your source. They're, again, made in the image and likeness of your divine source. So do you want to know the real secret to everything? Of course you do. Everybody wants the real secret to everything. Everybody loved the movie The Secret. But it's interesting because the movie The Secret only dealt with one of the rather lower laws of the astral plane, called the Law of Attraction. That operates on the astral realm, the realm of emotions, the realm of... not to say it doesn't work to a certain extent if you're not too developed. It will satisfy and work because you can manifest a parking place and you can attract maybe a new car and stuff like that. But I'm speaking to people who want to get serious here. They want to really activate and embody their true divine self-realized, self-actualized beingness. They don't want to play metaphysics. They want to know. They know that they know. And expand their awareness to walk in the presence of the divine all the time. And it comes, and this is the secret, it is transcending all the laws. You transcend every single law through the one thing that fulfills all laws, and that is love. Oh, I don't mean wimpy love, attached love, human love, that sort of thing. I'm talking about agape love, pure Christ love. And that love, which doesn't have any rhyme or reason, any season, it remains constant no matter what happens. It's solid. It's established in God. And therefore, nothing that prevails in the world affects it. And that kind of love, which is birthed by the Holy Spirit from within you, is birthed as you learn how to enter your sacred heart into that innermost chamber of the Beloved, and to dwell as the heart, as the sacred heart. That love, Beloved, fulfills every single law in time, space, and becomingness, and opens every door. And loving God gives you intimate access to the divine at all times. In fact, I have to tell you, you have no access, zero access, beyond the astral, causal, and mental realms. You have zero access beyond those phenomenal realms without love. Love is the only key of consciousness that you need to cultivate and live in and maintain as your constant vibration, the living love that will enable you to move with ease through this great shift of consciousness, this great transformative quantum leap that we're making into the new earth, the Terra Crista, the fifth dimensional Christ star earth, which we've just been over several shows. The Mayans say that we will be entering into in a massive quantum leap, a massive shift within the next very short period of time. Could be any time. It could be today for all we know, or tonight or tomorrow. But sometime between now and they estimate 2015, 2017, somewhere in there, we are going to be metamorphosized into pure love and pure light. And we will transcend completely this world of duality, pain, warfare, crime, illusion, aging, death, and misery. It's going to be gone, vanished, through grace, through that change in a twinkling of an eye that catches us when we least expect it. No one knows the hour but God the Creator. And nobody really knows how it's really going to take place, because we are saved by faith. And so it's part of the whole process to yield that imperative to have, to work the works yourself that can only be reworked from within you in the releasing and yielding of self to that greater, and let it have its way with you. At some point, we just belly up. I like the analogy of the little kitten, belly up with all of its innocence and its little soft tummy. And it has no defense. We need to be a kitten at the feet of the Lord to go through this process that we are going through at this time. So the secret to this living love is maintaining an ongoing conscious connection with the divine and keeping those lines of communication open at all times so that you never have to stop really and make a big deal out of connecting. You learn how to pray without ceasing. You learn how to worship God in spirit and in truth. So it's a continual state of reciprocal interplay between Beloved and the Love, the Beloved and the Lover, the Beloved and the Lover, until they merge like little Black Sambo and the tiger and the butter. They just all become butter after a while, and they're all mixed in together until you can't tell one from the other, and it just becomes that which is, the all that is, Tatwamasi, and that state, Beloved, where the devotee dissolves into the devotion, and the devotion dissolves into the all that is. But it is through that heart's fire, that heart's flame, that heart's adoration, that heart's prayer, That's heart's evocative presentation before the all that is. That is the seal that becomes the matrix, that becomes the very doorway through which we enter into the heart of all that is. If you can catch that beyond my words, if you can live in that state, if you can make that more precious than your next breath, beloved, you will have already attained the only thing that's worth attaining. And I pray that over you. Excuse me. I pray that into you. I pray that over your life. Allow the Lord to sing songs of praises over you, to wave flags of jubilation, to dance before you like Krishna, intoxicated with the love of the devotee, as a devotee danced the sweet, sweet sounds of the flute, which is a divine metaphor for the call of God, how God calls you and woos you to the divine sound current, that you feel singing reverberating in every cell of your being. It's an unquenchable, enraptured catching away. That those of you who have experienced it need no explanation. Those of you that have not experienced it probably are lost at this point in what I'm talking about. But it's possible that you'll catch the fire of it. It's possible you'll catch the vibration of it. It's possible that this will quicken and activate and stir up and inflame you with that sense of the beloved. And the wholeness of that. So, beloved, again, in the integration of self, we work with the ongoing sense of connecting to the divine. We do it easily through our breath, breathing in, breathing out, using mantra, touching to that very place where breath, the in-breath and the out-breath, comes to the point of stillness for a little second, that point you merge with God until finally you become the mergence and you become the way, the truth, and the life eternal. And you can say, I am that I am. And the Father and I are one. And I do only that which the Father reveals to me to be done. And of myself I do nothing. And you move into that state that we call the Christ consciousness. That is our whole goal and purpose here, beloved. So here are some very practical little checkpoints. I guess we all need to land this somewhere where we can have some places to put our feet as we ascend this ladder of consciousness. Check yourself and see, is there any area where you are not happy and at peace? And if that is so, if you're not wholly happy and completely at peace, check to see if you are living in love. Are you in harmonious relationship with yourself, with God, and with other people? Because the spiritual dimension that you are seeking to enter cannot be accessed except by those who live in love. Another checkpoint, do you feel like your prayers are not being heard or answered? The place to check yourself is to see if you're harboring unforgiveness, rancor, or hard feelings towards anyone. Have you been critical, judgmental, or have spread negative rumors about anyone? Have you talked about anyone behind their back to their detriment? This tendency, believe it or not, gives you spiritual blindness. It will make you completely blind to see truth if you are in rancor, in unforgiveness, in strife. Strife opens the door to every form of evil work and confusion. And strife will make you absolutely miserable. So if you're not happy and at peace, if you don't feel like your prayers are being heard or answered, really check to see if you're living in love. Check to see if you've forgiven everyone. And particularly guard yourself in every way that you can from entering into strife and conflict and negative exchange with anyone. Beloved, the price is too dear. The Course in Miracles asks us, would you rather be happy or right? And so you need to stop before you vent and maybe go into your quiet place, drink some cold water, call in the light, ask for the light to clear and balance you, and just don't answer or address the situation. Deal with it in yourself. That's the best way to resolve conflict, is to deal with it in your own self. Because the conflict that you experience outside is simply a mirrored reflection of an indwelling conflict you have in your own psychological nature, your own levels, your own psyche. So, again, work on yourself. Be self-referenced. And when I say self-referenced, I include the divine self. So it's a capital S, self-referenced. So if you are experiencing any form of heavy-heartedness, check yourself to see if you have entered into guilt, shame, or blame. Now, when Jesus went to the cross, he paid the price and wiped you free of all sin, all guilt, all shame, all blame. And there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So you need to ask yourself, have I made Jesus, the appointed Messiah and Lord and Savior, have I made him my personal Lord, Messiah, and Savior? Have I? Have I received the gift of the Father who sent his uniquely begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him and trust and rely on him should not perish, but would have eternal life? So that is the most important antidote, the remembrance of this. Whenever guilt, shame, blame, condemnation, or referencing yourself to your past mistakes comes and tries to convict you, all of that, beloved, was blotted out with the blood shed on Calvary. All of that is done, gone. God cannot even remember those things. It says that God has taken all of your sins and put them in the deepest sea of forgetfulness and can remember them no more. So don't you remember them either. When they're under the blood, they are no more. So you don't have to do anything about your past. From this moment onward, follow the love of the Lord and live with the Lord and abide in the Lord and live in victory and live in peace and live in that joy and that peace that passes all understanding, which comes only from abiding in the Christ consciousness. And again, the Lord says, come, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So in other words, to be yoked to the Lord, to be in yoga or in union with the Lord, that's easy. And the burden of that is light. Living light. You live in the light. You walk in the light. And the light is always sufficient for the footfall before you, the step before you. You walk in the light. You walk in the light of the Lord and the light of the living Word. in the light of faith. And as you step out into the unknown, automatically that step will reach up and meet your foot at the moment you need it. So these are all the ways that we walk by faith but not by sight. And the way that we are able to transcend all of the many doings and busyness of the ego self and the puppets and the puppetry. So, beloved, are you at peace? I mean that deep, deep within you kind of peace that makes no sense to the world. Have you an inner calm assurance and a quiet inner joy that just keeps you company no matter what? Are you contented? The Master has said that there is no happiness greater than contentment. So are you contented? Not lazy apathy, but that inner state that knows all is well with my soul. Maybe some of you have heard that hymn. All is well, all is well with my soul. I bet you didn't know how that song came to be written. It was written by a man, a Christian man, who had just been informed that his wife and children had drowned at sea. So that is a man who has found that deep inner peace and calm, that inner joy and contentment of soul that comes from abiding faith, that living every day in every way by faith, absolute trust and confidence in the Lord and His provision, protection, and care. That's the way all of the saints that we admire so much have lived throughout time. Every single one of them were abiding in that peace of the Lord that passes all understanding. I wish that upon each one tonight, as many as will receive it. I know that it comes from right relationship with God. And we are restored to right relationship with God through Christ Jesus and through His love and through the gift of the Holy Spirit within us that makes us into the image and likeness of the Son of God, fills us with power so that we can also do the greater things that Jesus said that we would do, not by our might, and not by our power, but by the Spirit of the living Lord. And so let's go out chanting. Let's chant Shanti Shalom. That's peace in Sanskrit and Hebrew. Deep breath. Shanti Shalom. Shanti Shalom. Shanti Shalom. May the peace of God be upon you, within you, and may you abide in that peace that passes all understanding. The peace that is the gift of the Holy Spirit and dwelling in the heart of all that is. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord.